So to bring it back to what I want to talk about and what we've heard about this morning and we'll be hearing more about, with the enactment of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, I've really kind of focused in on what the role of counsel is in implementing those provisions and those new laws. And it's a familiar role for counsel. It's a two-part role that you are all probably familiar with as well. On the front end, we've got our six associate offices working day and night in Washington, D.C. to try to get guidance out. And you've read all of the publications we've gotten out so far, and I know there's quite a bit of anticipation about more regulations coming out in the very near future. So those six offices working, as I said, on the front end to try to get as much guidance out as possible, answer as many questions as we can on the front end so that when taxpayers are filing their returns, they can have more certainty in the positions they're taking on those returns. And that relates directly to the job that we have in counsel on the back end, which is to ensure that there's an enforcement presence, both for uncertainties and issues that we can help the field resolve through the field guidance that our field attorneys give, but also, if and when necessary, to litigate cases in tax court and assist our colleagues at the Justice Department in litigating in the district courts, where taxpayers are coloring outside the lines or for any other reason, issues can't be resolved administratively and they end up in litigation at the back end. So those two bookends, as I described them, on the front end, providing guidance, trying to get as many questions answered as possible, and on the back end, having a strong enforcement presence and supporting the work that the IRS does on the enforcement side to ensure that the intent of Congress in a new law like TCJA is implemented and followed. On the front end, it's interesting for me to compare my experience now as chief counsel to my experience 10 years ago when I left the Treasury Department. And things have changed significantly in the way guidance is handled and the way that things are looked at in terms of what we publish and what we issue and how we think about issuing guidance. In big part, that's been driven by the way that courts have evolved their thinking on guidance and deference and application of the Administrative Procedures Act. Since I left Treasury in 2011, the Supreme Court came out with its Mayo decision where they confirmed that the Administrative Procedures Act applies to Treasury regulations just like all other regulations. So you all, I'm sure, have seen an increase in focus and attention on Treasury regulations complying with provisions in the Administrative Procedures Act. But that's a real difference between the way that we're issuing guidance now and how we're thinking about guidance and how we thought about it 10 short years ago or so when I was at the Treasury Department. This is an evolving area of the law, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the recent decisions like Altera, where you see a split in the courts even, and dissenting opinions, strong dissenting opinions on how regulations should be applied and interpreted. So we in chief counsel will continue to monitor that and see how the courts are interpreting and applying the Administrative Procedures Act. And that will continue to help evolve our thinking on how we issue and publish regulations as well. But again, an evolving area of the law that's really changed, I think, in many respects, the way we look at regulations. Just a couple of examples, and I'll try to sprinkle some of these in throughout my comments here this afternoon. But looking in particular at the Section 163J regulations, the interest expense limitation, which we are getting close to having finalized. We got 122 comments on those regulations, on the proposed regulations, all of which are being carefully reviewed and taken into consideration. But a big focus in those comments was the issue of authority. Do we have authority for different provisions in the proposed regulations? And that's something that has really changed. I don't recall many instances, and certainly it wasn't a focus of the work 10 years ago, where commentators would come in and really give important comments on the scope of our authority under Section 7805 or a specific statute. But from our perspective, we very much appreciate those kinds of comments to talk about our authority and talk about our jurisdiction. Because it's much better to address those issues on the front end and give us an opportunity in preambles and final regulations to address authority questions so that when courts are looking at those issues years down the line, they're not looking at them in a vacuum. Another just quick example, you may have seen recently a decision from the, I want to say Second Circuit, Third Circuit, in the SIH Partners case. And this involves a pre-TCJA 956 regulation that actually went back about 50 years. And one of the issues that the court struggled with there was a very old regulation like that, that doesn't have a lot of preamble discussion, doesn't have a lot of discussion about the authority under which those regulations were issued. So I just cite that as an example of a way in which we can benefit from comments coming in on our authority issues, how courts are looking at that, and how I think going forward, having a robust discussion of those issues on the front end will be very helpful on the back end, hopefully eliminating or reducing some litigation over the authority issues when those cases do come up down the road. So a real evolution in the way that we've looked at guidance and how we're publishing guidance now compared to when I was at Treasury 10 years ago. In terms of specific projects that we're working on, we have issued the priority guidance plan for the 2019-2020 year. That came out in early October. That identifies 203 projects that we're focusing our attention on. Of that, about 100 of those are TCJA-related to be issued. Some of those have come out since early October. But about half our work right now and our focus on the PGP is on TCJA-related matters. So, and that will continue to be a big part of our push going forward.